I think sometimes when we use the word soon, I think it gives us an excuse to relax a bit. So I think I should word it differently. I think Jesus is coming tomorrow. So we don't wait and get back to our normal selves again. And I can't wait to go home because there is a beautiful place prepared for me and my family and for you. And I hope to see you there. You hope to see me there too. Amen. But before I share the word of God this morning, I have a testimony. And I'm going to invite my brother Fernan up to what you see on the board there. We have a ministry that my wife and I, the Lord has blessed us with, and it's called Healing Rain. And this ministry is two part of this ministry. It's meeting, you know, Spirit of Prophecy tells us that Christ's method alone that gives true success. We've seen, and the sad thing is we have so many ways that is coming into our churches that we think is success. But a prophet tells us there is only one way that is true success, and that is the Christ method alone. So the first part of this ministry is to restore the image of God's love in the heart. Because, as I said earlier, the beautiful Sabbath's lesson today, we're talking about the character of Christ. And we can come and claim the Sabbath. We can come and claim the teaching of the mark of the beast and the seal of God, which is all important. But if our heart is still hurting, then it's going to be impossible for us to receive the seal of God through the Holy Spirit. So we deal with this ministry, we deal with the emotional hurt that some of us are carrying for so long. And we come to church wearing masks. And I can talk for myself, you know, sometimes when people ask me to come and preach in churches, I say no. Because I'm being wearing a mask, I've got stuff in my family that I need to work. So it's no point for me to come here and preach the word of God if my home is not right. I don't know about you, but I want my home to be right. Because the church is full of people, it's made of people, and people come from home. And if my home is not right, then it is impossible for me to give the light. So please continue. So the second part of this ministry is to look into training the church of this thing, what we call evangelism. We believe that some people believe that evangelism is just an event. But let me remind you, evangelism is not an event. It's a lifestyle. It's a cycle. There is what we call a cycle of evangelism. So we do training for churches, prepare them for the harvest so we can go home. But I want to invite my brother Fernand up to come and just to share 5 minutes of what he learned from Healing Rain. And we have a school that is coming up in March, the 22nd of March to the 31st of March. We're going to be having it at the log cabins. It's a beautiful place in nature that we can hear God speaking to us.
But Mace knows that, unfortunately, I will not be able to join them because I've got to go and help my daughter in Christ Church because baby number 2 is on the way. Due on the 11th of March. So I'm going to miss you guys. Well, I could stand here for the whole hour and tell you about Healing Rain. I had the privilege of attending that beautiful program last March at the Pine, what was it called? The Log Cabins. And I tell you, it really opened my eyes. You know, we come to church week in and week out, and it's true, we do put on masks. And the truth of the matter is we're all broken people. Every single one of us. Every single one of us has a story to tell. And the sad truth is many of us carry this pain all our lives, hidden in our subconscious. And we don't talk about it. We come to church, and we just play the game and pretend everything's okay. And what I love with Healing Rain is that it takes a holistic approach to life. We don't just focus on the spiritual, but on the emotional, the physical, and mental, and so on. So I want to encourage you, if you got some time, it would be a good investment to attend. I'm hoping there is still some room left. Do go there for 10 days. I promise you, you'll be blessed. Be blessed and be prepared. You'll be challenged because in terms of your spiritual life and also your emotional life, and you'll come away totally healed. I promise you. God bless you.
Well, if you have your Bibles, I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't like to talk too much up here. I just want to go straight to the Word. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles in the book of Genesis chapter 1. And while you're turning your Bibles there, Genesis chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 26. It's a familiar Bible verse. And while you're turning your Bibles there, I want to say thank you again for your beautiful church, your leaders and your elders and your pastor for inviting me to be here. And it's a pleasure for me to be here. And again, please, when you come to, if you do decide to come to Healing Rain to join us in March, let me remind you, Healing Rain is not the source. A lot of people go to programs like this and rely on Healing Rain and programs. It's not the source. God is the source that brings true healing to our hearts. So Genesis chapter 1, we're looking at verse 26. If you're there, let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. I'm going to read it again. Then God said, let us, let who? Let us make man in what? In our image, according to who? To our God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our likeness. The title of our message this morning, if you can have it on the screen, is The Image That Revives. The Image That Revives. Throughout this week, I was praying to God, to what does he want me to speak today? I've done this sermon in different churches, but I was sitting at the back. I had two sermons on my mind. But then Brother Fernand for the Sabbath blessing confirmed what the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak today. So the title of our sermon this morning is The Image That Revives. Pray with me. Father, let your will be done. Amen. The Bible clearly says to us in Genesis that we were created in the image of God Almighty. Amen? Amen. God said, male and female, he created us in his own image and his likeness. So here, the Bible is so clearly set forth the origin of the human race. And the divine record, there is so plainly stated that there was no occasion for erroneous conclusion. If you look at verse 27, the Bible clearly says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. So here is no mystery. There is no mystery. There is no ground for the idea that man was evolved by slow degrees of development from a lower form of animal. We have the evolution. You see, brothers and sisters, you see, there's no mystery in the Bible. See, I'm so glad that God didn't create me in the image of a monkey. Brother Fernand, just imagine you and I have a beautiful conversation, and somehow my monkey genes kicks in. Our conversation will be front row. But I want to see, if God created us in the image of an animal, of a monkey, we will be equal with them. But to God be the praise. Why? Because my Bible confirms that we were created in the image of God. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
And then our main verse this morning tells us in verse 26, God said, have dominion over who?
Fish.
Over the monkeys. You know, church, do you know that God created us with a cycle of blessing? When God created us, it was perfect. God created, designed a cycle, is what we call a cycle of blessing for his people. But the devil has to step in and cause and promote this another cycle that is apart from the cycle of blessings. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles, look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. So here, day number three, God comes down and said, let it be grass. The Bible says, bang, the power of the word of God activated, and there was grass. But then after God spoke and said, let it be grass, look at verse 12. Then verse 12 says, and the earth, and what, everybody? And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was what, everybody? God said, let it be grass. And then verse 12 said, the earth brought forth grass. It's called a cycle. Listen to this, church. Everything in life operates on a cycle. The galaxy operates in cycles. Is that true? What else? The human body operates in cycles. Is that true? The season. How many seasons do we have? Operates through cycles. So everything in life operates on a cycle. Are you following what I'm saying? Everything operates in a cycle. So everything in it, so everything in life reproduces after its own kind. Listen to this. When God created grass, he created one time. How many times? He didn't come down on day three and say, let it be grass. And then come down on day four and say, let it be. No, God said it once. And once God created grass, guess what happened? It starts what we call a cycle. A what, everybody? A cycle. And when that cycle grows, it goes on for years and years and years and years. But here's the thing, church. Every cycle is based on the premises of the seed. Let me say it this way. Every cycle, it depends on the seed. If you plant corrupt seed, guess what kind of cycle you and I will have? A corrupt cycle. If we, let me put it this way. You cannot plant tomato seeds and expect mango as fruit. Sometimes I like to think that way, but it's impossible. Let me put it this way. A full-blood Samoan like me cannot reproduce Japanese babies. It's just impossible because everything in life reproduces after its own kind. Hate reproduces haters. Hypocrisy, you know what I'm saying. Jealousy reproduces jealousy. Gossip reproduces gossiper. Everything in life reproduces after its own kind. So hear what I'm trying to say, church, that God created us to reproduce something. I wonder what it was. Look at the Bible verse. Look at the Bible. Let's refer to the word. Our main verse tells us this morning, then God said, let us make what, everybody? Make man in our what? Image. According to what? Our life. So God created us to reproduce a cycle of his image and his likeness. But how does that look like? Hold your finger there. Go with me in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says that he that loveth not, knoweth not who. For who? For God is who? Is love. So there, if Genesis 1 verse 26 tells us that we were created in the image of God and his likeness, and the New Testament tells us that God is who, everybody? So therefore, we were created in the image of God's love. Hallelujah, somebody. We were created in the image of God's love. See, we were wired for love. We were not wired to fear. We were not wired to worry. We were wired for love because my Bible tells me this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says that for God did not give us a what kind of spirit? A spirit of fear, but he gave us what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So therefore, God created us to reproduce a cycle of his love. Character. The character of Christ. Go with me. Verse 28. You got to excuse me, church. Sometimes I speak loud because I'm excited what God has done for me. So you got to excuse me. I can't
I can't hold my excitement to be up here to share what God has done for me throughout this week. Who had a good week this week? Amen. Who had a challenge this week? But we are here because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of Jesus. Look at verse 28. Then God blessed them and and God said, be fruitful and what, everybody? Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God, after God created man, he blessed them. He what, everybody? Bless. Everybody say bless. Bless. Say it like you mean it. Say bless. Bless. Say it like you're not hungry like me. Say bless. Bless. God said he blessed them. And then God said, be fruitful. Interesting. I looked at the meaning of the word, the Hebrew word of fruitful here. It means to grow and increase. To what, everybody? And increase. But to grow and increase in what? His likeness. We need to grow. In other words, we must experience the love of God in our life first. That is the key. We must, because that image of love that we were created in must first sink in our heart first before you give it. Because you cannot give love if you don't know what love is. You cannot give love if I think what love looks like is from my husband. I cannot give love if I think that my love and what love looks like is from my wife. No, 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 no. I need to give love because I need to understand first his love for me. We know that everything God does, what does Satan does? Counterfeit. God speaks about his image of love. Guess what happens? Satan goes to the world and they say, let's substitute what this love is. This is what Satan is doing. And we need to work. So God said, no, you need to reproduce a cycle of it. So God said, be fruitful. We need to grow in and increase. See, this is the reason why a lot of females, I'm just sorry, sisters, I'm just speaking from experience. I have two sisters, I have a mother, and I have cousins and all girls. And this is what happens. See, this is the reason why we look in the mirror, we hate ourselves. Doesn't matter what age. This is the reason why when we look in the mirror, we hate ourselves. This is the reason why we have problems. This is the reason why we feel so depressed in our life today. It's because we are not growing and increasing in the image of God's love. That is our foundation, brothers and sisters. What is in the most holy place? The Ten Commandments, right, in the ark. And how do you summarize? I did not say how do you nail the law. How do you summarize? One word, love, is the foundation of God's government. God said, I want to make sure that you experience that in your heart. So when you look at the mirror, when you look at the things of the world, it doesn't face you. Because so many people have relied on the things of the world to add value in themselves. So when we come through these doors, guess what happened? We don't look like we have the character of Christ. And yet we have visitors to shake their hand, to invite them to our homes. It's a continued battle. I battle with that. You can ask my wife. Sometimes I'm driving and someone cut me off and I'm like, oh, Lord, not today. Please, not today. But we got to continue to work because I cannot do it on my own strength. It is Jesus Christ. Amen? It is Jesus Christ. And then God said, multiply. Multiply what? Multiply his manner. Multiply his likeness. Multiply his character of love. It says in the spirit of prophecy. Oh, sorry, one more thing. How do you expel sin from the heart? It says in the Mount of Blessing, page 76, love is the what, everybody? Amen. Is the agent where you use to expel sin from the heart. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. It is not condemning people with what we know. I want to praise God for the truth. I'm being in the church 4 years now. But I want to praise God for the truth that is given to me. But see, that truth, we need to experience his love, because it's only the love of God that can expel the sin that is from my heart. Amen. Spirit of prophecy tells us love is the agent which he uses to expel sin from the heart. It says also then the spirit of prophecy tells us, education, page 15, it says, when Adam came from the Creator's hand, he born in his physical, mental, and spiritual nature. a likeness to his maker. God created man in his own image, and it was his purpose that the longer man live, the more fully he should, what everybody? Reveal his image, the more fully reflect the glory of the creator. All his focuses were, what everybody? Of what? Their what? And what? Were continuing to what? To increase. You know, when we have the character of Christ, we're not ashamed to share about the Sabbath. When we have the character of Christ, we are not afraid to speak about the mark of the beast. When we have the character of Christ, guess what happened? All, because all these beautiful doctrines that God has given to us, if Jesus, if we take the love of Christ from that, guess what happened? It doesn't sink into the heart of the sinner. We have to have the character of Christ every day, not just when we come to church. You know, I used to do that a lot. I wear a mask when I come. You fight along the road, and me and my wife yelling at each other. The moment you come into the door, happy Sabbath, brother. Happy Sabbath, sister. Oh, beautiful. Yo, I had a beautiful week this week. I'm just going to be honest. Because this is the place we should be honest. It's a hospital. It's a safe place. We keep preaching about this as a hospital, but lately it doesn't look like a hospital because people are afraid to share what is in their hearts. And we need to wake up as a church. We need to work together and create this as a safe environment so when our brothers and sisters can come in and rejoice, prepare them for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, church? When God created Adam, he was perfect. Picture this with me, church. A perfect God created a perfect son. A blessed God, he got down to his knees on the dust, his hands on the dirt. A blessed God create a blessed son. Everything in Adam's life was blessed. It was only a cycle of blessing. Everything, when Adam went to sleep, he was blessed. When he woke up, he was blessed. When he see blessed, he can hear blessed, smell blessed, everything. It was just one cycle. It was a cycle of blessing, but the devil has to step in and break the cycle of blessing that belongs to Adam's life. Go with me to Genesis. Genesis 5, look at verse 2 and 3. Genesis 5, look at verse 2 and 3. The Bible said, he, who's the he there? God created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Now look at verse 3. The language changed now in verse 3. And Adam, and who everybody? And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in what? In his likeness and what? So whose image and likeness now in verse 3? So you have Adam and mankind's image kicks in. So you have, instead of the image of God that brings one cycle, which is a cycle of blessing, you now have the image of mankind. See, the devil is so smart. The devil has to step in and change the picture of God and change the image of God's love. Instead of the image of God that brings blessings, you now have the image of mankind. Satan is like this. Rely on your own righteousness now. Rely on your own ways now. Now let's look what happened when mankind kicked in. The image of mankind. Look at verse chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, Genesis 6. Then the Lord saw that, what everybody? Now wait a minute. This sounds like another cycle. Let's read on. Wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil, 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 evil. So instead, of the image of God that brings blessing to his people, you now have Satan promoting the righteousness of man. And because of this, Father said, we now have another cycle. It's called a cycle of cursing. It was never God's plan for us to suffer. No, 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 no. God created us to give him glory and to reflect his character in this world and to enjoy the blessing. But Satan has to step in. Satan is already lost. Do we know that? He's a defeated foe. Can somebody say amen? Every time he attacks you, you remind him, excuse me, you're defeated already. But you see, the great controversy now, Christ won the war. That's why we claim the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But guess who's caught in the middle? That's me and you, brothers and sisters. So Satan said, no, in order for me to get back to Christ, I'm going to hurt the people he loves the most. And guess who's that? That's me and you. So he's trying to change the picture of God's image in us. Instead of blessing, we now have Satan's promoting. See, may I suggest something to you this morning, church? Quit doing things our own ways. Because whatever you do, whatever we do does not bless. But whatever God does, bless. Amen, somebody. Quit doing things our own ways, because sometimes we come and trying to prepare a business meeting and board meetings, and there's always something that you're trying to do. You always can tell someone that's trying to creep his ways in. Christ is the head of the church, amen? Quit doing things our own ways and start doing what God wants us to do. And the moment we do that, the whole church will be filled with those outside. Because I want to go home. I want to go home. I'm tired, brothers and sisters. I'm tired. But we need to prepare others. We prepare our hearts to allow the character of Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us daily. I want to take my children. I want to take my son. I want to take my cousins and my aunties and my uncles. I want to see them in heaven. I want to go home, because there's a better place prepared for his people. Satan wants us to multiply his stuff. See, that's why we have this thing, suicide thought, in our minds. You know the number one killer in the world today? Suicide. Not only among our young people, not only us as older folks, but especially pastors, evangelists, and those that are leading out. Father, this week I heard one of the Sunday preachers, he's mega church, committed suicide. Last year we had a Samoan, I think he had one more year at Avondale before he graduated. He went for a mission, he came back, and straight after when he came back from the beautiful mission, he killed himself. Why? Because Satan is trying to change the picture of God's character in us. Because what happened, brothers, is Satan is trying to promote his stuff. Satan said, like, go to this thing and go to the world and go to find out these things about love to add value in us. But that, brothers and sisters, it doesn't add value in us. Because we got to keep jumping from one thing to another thing. God said, no, 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 go back to the beginning. Go back to Genesis. Go back to the foundation. Jesus had no New Testament. Jesus was referring to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament tells us the image of God's love is the pure of God's love that will sink and heal our hearts so we can follow him all the way. Amen. See, Satan wants to promote his stuff to us. He wants us to be attached to his stuff. And what is that? Pride. Honey, do I have pride? Tell the truth to the church. I have. I'm sorry, darling. Sometimes my pride overtakes me, not only in our marriage, but in my ministry that God has blessed. Pride. And guess what Satan's problem in heaven? He had an eye problem. Pride. Satan is trying to promote this pride so you and I can become so attached to it. Do you want to know? Do you really want to know what stuff of his that you and I are attached to? Do you want to know? Do you know how you want to? You want to know? This is how. Every time, see, you will know that you have become so attached to something until you are ready to give it up. Let me say that again. you will know that you have become so attached to something until you are ready to give it up. And when you are ready, when it comes to the time to give it up, guess what happened? It's impossible. Why? Because you have become so in love with the person who owned those stuff. Brothers and sisters, that's what the Bible tells us in Romans. Romans 6 verse 6. Know he not that to whom you, what everybody? Yield yourself, servant what? To obey. And then it says, his servants he are the whom he obey. So when you heal, when you love those stuff with the devil, guess what happens? You'll become so attached to the devil that you don't even know that you're doing it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit daily. No, you didn't hear me, church. I said that's why we need the Holy Spirit daily. Amen. Every minute, every second, every hour, daily. To open our eyes from what Satan is doing. See, brothers, don't underestimate the power of Satan. I did not say don't be afraid. No. In fact, let me remind you, because my Bible tells me, if God is for us, can someone finish the verse? Who can stand against us? Say, everybody say who? Say who? Say it with an attitude. Who? See, who can stand against us? It's nobody, because God. So I'm not telling you be afraid of Satan. No. He's a defeated foe. But what I'm trying to say, don't underestimate his power. Because we all know in Revelation that he's got this much time left. A little time. Satan is trying to set you and I up for his final attack. Go with me to Revelation 13. You're not hungry, right? Just to make sure that you're not hungry. Amen. Revelation 13. We all know this verse right here. This chapter here. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. We know this. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Verse 17. And that no one may, what everybody? May buy or what? Guess what happens? When this come to play, we will give in to it. Why? Because we have become so attached to the image of the devil through his stuff. That's why I'm challenging you. I'm talking to myself. I am not trying to stand here and preach to you. No. I'm preaching to my. There are things that I'm attached to every single day that belongs to the devil. And God reminds me every morning, my son, get rid of it now, because there's no time. When Jesus comes, it's too late for us. Oh, no. Here I am. It's too late. Today, every day, spend time with the Word. Spend time with the Word, my brothers and sisters. Please. Because He wants us to prepare to stand firm when it comes to this time that you and I cannot buy and cannot sell. You see, brothers and sisters, it is the love of God. See, Satan understands. It is the love of God that draws us closer to the Father. Amen? But listen to this. Not only will draw us closer to the Father, you and I will be able to draw others to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus said that I will draw men to who? So what Jesus is saying, in other words, you and I cannot do anything. You can't do it. I can't do it. But what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, when you experience the love of God in your heart, guess what happened? You will be on fire. When you walk on the street, people look at you, man, I want to be that person. What is that person having? Why is this person smiling? Why is this person so happy every single day? Why? Because when they see you, they don't see you, but they see God's glory all over you. And when they come to you and say, brother, why are you so happy? Hopefully that you will say, it's not me. It is the Lamb. It is Jesus Christ who nailed his hands for me. Our relationship and our marriages should be so attractive that draws others to Jesus Christ. It's easy to do church every Sabbath, isn't it? It's easy for me to put a tie and my suit and come to church. But I challenge you, do it on a Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. God is calling for his people to reveal his character. It's time, my friends. Amen. It's time. That's why love at home is so important. And guess where Satan attacks first? What makes a church church? What makes a church? People. Where do people come from? Where does Satan attack? And where does Satan attack Adam and Eve? The relationship and their home. Listen to this. The power of Christ's love. Look, step to Christ, page 71. When Christ became a human being, he tied. He what, everybody? What is a tied, everybody? Who's a truck driver? Who knows how to do a knot, a tie? I'm sure. It's hard to do. When you're trying to loose that thing, it's hard. You need skills to do it, right? Jesus, he said, he tied the people of the world to himself by the tie of love. Then it goes to say, this tie can never be broken. Who breaks it? Me. That's a promise, my brothers and sisters. That is hope. Jesus' tithe is infinite love in us that will never be broken. The only person that will break that is me. The only person that is you. But God already, Jesus already confirmed, he's already tied that love that will never be broken, that is only us. Unfortunately, there are many people today who have never experienced this love of God because they have not seen it in their home from their parents. And because of this, brothers and sisters, their hearts now becomes empty and void, broken. See, the reason why people don't obey and trust and love God is because their parents didn't show them unconditional love. Because if they have, or if they did, they would have awakened within them the desire to love and trust and obey God. You see, we were created with a hole in our heart that can be only filled with the love of God. But as a child, in our children, in our child experience, our parents were responsible to fill that hole. You see, my true picture, my picture of God is how I see my parents at home. If I see that my parents don't love me unconditionally, guess what happens? I will turn out to believe that, number one, God is not love. Number two, that he does not love me. So therefore, it leads me to low self-worth, low self-esteem. And as a result, brothers and sisters, we turn to suicide. We turn to anger. We turn to abuse. We turn to gossip. We turn to pornography. We turn to sexism. We turn to envy. We turn to alcohol. We turn to pride. We turn to smoking. To fill our hearts that it's longing for his love. These are not the problem. It's the symptoms of something that is deep inside. See, in order for us to counsel people outside to get rid of that, Sister White said, go and reason from cause to effect. Because if you're trying to get rid of anger, guess what happened? They will turn to another addiction to replace that addiction. But Sister White, when you dig the root, all of that gone. Here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. Let me show you something. No unconditional love, or let's say the infinite love of God. No infinite love of God. Guess what happened to the heart? Our heart are wounded, empty, and pain. And because of our heart empty and pain, guess what happened? We turn to behavior narcotics to numb the pain. What behavior narcotics? All of this. You know, one of them is the titles in churches. Is there anything wrong with titles in churches? No. But a lot of us, we're trying to get involved in titles. Why? Because we are trying to fill our heart with our titles. God said, no, it's impossible. It's the love of Christ. It is the love of the Father. You see, the title of my message this morning is the image that revives. The what, everybody? And these things cannot revive you. It's because they are all linked to the character of Satan. That's why when we talk about spiritual things in the church, when we talk about outreach, when we talk about evangelism, it doesn't set our heart on fire. Let's be honest. Why? Because Satan has done a good job setting you and I up on fire with his stuff. Brothers and sisters, it is the love of God. See, there's a saying in Healing Rain, love awakens love. Love awakens love. It says here, Desire of Ages, page 48, love awakens in the heart of the beholders. They hear his what, everybody? And they what? They follow. Love awakens love. You see, I remember, I've come to an end now. I remember when I first met my wife, I was in love. The only thing, with every time I have dinner with my family, with my boys, with my friends, the only thing that came out of this mouth was about my wife. Oh, she looks beautiful. Oh, she was the perfume. She was all so beautiful. Said they could not shut me up. Do I have a witness in this place? Thank you. There's only one of me. I couldn't have, no, because I was so excited. It's the same with Jesus. You see, when we experience his love in our heart, see, the problem is, listen, church, the problem is we are trying to love him first. No, 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 no. The first goal is you need to understand his love for you. Amen. We can now, in order for us to have a clear picture on how to love our wife, our son, our husband, our neighbors, the clear picture is you must get the picture of God to you. Then it's possible for you to love others. What is the problem in the first church in Revelation chapter 2? Ephesus. This church, they forgot, they neglect to experience the love of God daily in their lives. And guess what happened? It was easy for Satan to get them to sin. See, the first is the ultimate goal of Satan, brothers and sisters, is to get us to sin. Is that true? That's the ultimate goal. But his first step to accomplish that goal is to get you and I to fall out of love of God. Then it is easy for him to get you and I to sin. It's the love of God awakens. Remember the story of Samaritan woman? Remember the Samaritan woman? On John chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that the woman came and Jesus was sitting at the well. She came with a water pot to fill some water. And then Jesus said, excuse me, can I have a drink? And you know what the lady, the woman said? Oh, we don't do business. We, the Jews and the Samaritans, we cannot exchange. We don't exchange. If only she knew that Jesus was about to set her heart on fire. So then Jesus said, you know that water there? If you drink it today, you're going to be first in the 5 seconds. But the water that I shall give him, in him will become a fountain of what, everybody? A living water. See what Jesus is doing here. Jesus was referring the conversation to the root cause of her problem. See, Jesus wasn't talking about the physical water pot that she came with. Jesus wasn't talking about the physical water. No, Jesus was referring to him. What Jesus was trying to say to the woman. Woman, it seems like you come with your water pot. Fill it with water, but every time you leave, it becomes empty. I wonder how many people who come to this well every Sabbath but leave empty. I wonder how many of us who come every single to this beautiful well but we leave empty. Jesus said to the woman, Jesus was trying to say to the woman, woman, stop filling your heart with all the wrong type of love. I wonder how many of us are trying to fill our hearts with all the wrong type of love. It is only the love of Christ that satisfies us. Amen? Amen? It is only the love of the Father that satisfies us. Amen. Because we all know how many men that this woman is sleeping with. Some say 5, some say 6. Because remember Jesus, the woman said, Jesus, give me that water. And Jesus said, no, go call your husband. She's like, I have no husband. Jesus said, well, you had 5. The one that you're with now is not even yours. Jesus knew us everything, amen? See, this woman here jumps from relationship to relationship to relationship. And then not satisfied, she jumps from marriage to marriage to marriage. It's because she's longing for true love. But when she found Jesus, come on somebody, say amen. When she found Jesus, see, Jesus knew all the dark secrets in your life, but he didn't even condemn her. She was restored by the very image that she was created in. I guess Jesus was number man number seven. What's a seven in the Bible means? Complete and perfection. She was complete. My brothers and sisters, nobody can complete you. Not even the person next to you can complete you. Not even a preacher can complete you. Any powerful speakers, no one can complete you. Let me tell you something, brothers. It's only Jesus that can complete your heart. Please, my friends, it is only Jesus. When the woman was standing face to face with Jesus, she was looking at her real reflection. When she came face to face with Jesus, she was looking at the very image, the image of love that she was created in. And that, my friends, revived her. Can I share one more thing? Sorry, I lied. One more thing before I sit down. What does fire represent in the Bible also? What does the fire also represent in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, let me show you something. Also represents love. Go with me to Ezekiel. I'm glad that we have the Bible, amen? So you're not here to hear from the preacher. You are here to hear the word of God. Ezekiel, look at 28. Keep in mind that love represents fire. Fire represents love. Ezekiel 28, look at verse 14. Are we there? You were the anointed cherub who covers. Who are we talking about here? Lucifer, who became who? Who became Satan. It was a choice. Keep that in mind. It was a choice. It says here, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in where? In the midst of what? Fiery stone. Now remember that we are trying to pull from the Bible that fire also represents love. And here Lucifer walked up and down in the midst of these fiery stones. What are these fiery stones? Go with me to Exodus. Exodus 24. Exodus 24. And if you look at verse 16 and 17. Are we there? Amen. Now the glory, the what, everybody? Glory. Keep that word in your mind. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Verse 17. The sight of the what, everybody? Glory. The glory of the Lord was like what? Consuming fire in some of your Bible. So the fact that Lucifer was walking up and down in the midst of the fiery stone is the very fact that Lucifer was walking up and down in the presence of God's glory. Now go now with your Bible to the book of Song of Solomon. My last Bible verse, I promise. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, and look at verse 6. Just before Isaiah. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, look at verse 6. Are we there? Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love. For what, everybody? For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cool as a grave. Its flames are flames of fire. What flame? What flame? What the Bible is talking to you? Flame, it means love. Look, read on. A most vehement flame. Look at verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. So the fact that Lucifer was walking up and down in the midst of God's glory, in this midst of firestone, is the fact that Lucifer was walking up and down in the presence of God's love. You see, it was Lucifer's job to go into the midst, to go into the presence of God, to experience the love of God Almighty. And it was his job to come out of there and reflect the character of God to the universe. But he failed to do that. Guess who now God calls? God calls us. Guess where you and I will be standing in heaven? The same place. Do you want proof? One more Bible verse. Go with me to Revelation 15. Revelation 15, look at verse 2. Revelation 15, look at verse 2. It says, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with what, everybody? Fire. And those who have the victory of the beast, that's us. I want to speak boldly today and have faith. That's us. Over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass. Hallelujah, somebody. God prepared the same place where Lucifer, he failed. God said, no, 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 no. I'm going to raise a group of people. Who follow the commandment of Jesus Christ. Because God wants us to restore us back to the very image that you and I were created in. There, my friend. I hope to see you there. Pray for me that I'll be standing in the sea of glass in the presence of God's love. I want to invite my brother Jed to come up to share a song with us. As he come up, I'm just going to share a little story. I grew up in a family where there were always rules, and I love my mom and dad. They've done the best they can for me. I was a black sheep of the family. That's why they used to call me. But growing up, I could never understand what love is. My dad is a minister of the church, of the Methodist church, and he still is. I'm the only Seventh-day Adventist in my family. But growing up, I always see my dad as always busy doing ministry. And I was just doing my own thing. And growing up and see other parents with their fathers, their kids. And I used to stare at them and I said, man, I wish that was me and my father. I used to see fathers and their sons holding hands and going out fishing and kicking the ball. And I used to just to walk around and just act tough. Because that's the only thing I knew how to survive in this world. It's just, if it's not sports or... So then I turned to the world. Drinking and smoking and all those things. But there was only one thing that got to me was this word, violent. I saw my father and my mother and verbally abusing and I thought that was love. That's what love is. When I met my wife, the very thing I said I would never do. Did it to my wife. Cut the story short. We couldn't have kids. We went to the doctors. The doctor said, impossible. But I remember there was a God I say, Lord, if you are the God of love, show me. I came one afternoon after work. I saw my wife on the porch. She was crying. Being a Samoan like me and I act tough, I said, who make you cry? Tell me and I'll fix him. Tell me and I'll fix him. She said, no, darling, I'm 3 months pregnant. Speechless. Speechless. From that point, I understood that he tied his love that will never be broken. So I'm challenging you, my friends and my family this morning. I don't know what you're struggling with. If it's your marriage, if it's your relationship, if it's your kids, if it's your work, if it's something that in the past that is still hurting your heart, Jesus is calling today. Jesus is calling today. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what is in your heart. I cannot fix your heart. It is only the great physician. Not my words. No preacher, no evangelist, no speaker can fix your heart. We are just vessels used by God. But at the end of the day, it is Christ who died on the cross that makes it possible for us. So if there's something that is in your heart that you really today, you say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. If that's your desire this morning, I'm just going to ask you just to stand with me. Don't stand because you feel like it. But stand because God is calling you. I'm the first one here. You just stand where you're at. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you because we know that we are broken people. And we know, Father, the problems that we have is drowning us down daily. But I want to praise your name because you always provide a solution. And the solution is, Father, is your infinite love. Lord, I pray for my family here in Bodesa. I pray for those who have come here and visit us. I pray for every single parents, fathers and mothers. And our young people, Lord, please, Father, you understand their needs. You understand what they're going through. Lord, I pray that you will reach out to them. That you will open their hearts and their minds. Please, Father, don't give up knocking on our door. Please restore us, Lord. Put us back on the road again. For this year, Lord, we don't know what's coming. But you have given us evidence. You have given us so many things for your word on how to prepare for what's coming. But as we prepare, Lord, help us to experience your love daily so we may follow your voice. Lord, I pray that you will bless this church. That you will bless their pastor, his wife, the elders and the deacons, especially the families that are visiting today. But we thank you, Father. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.